We are continuing to talk about RIPE. Let's go over it. R stands for what?
Reap.
If you don't know what this is a game plan. Everybody say this is a game plan.
Game plan.
This is a structure. This is a principle. These are principles or activities or disciplines that should be taking place in our life. And these are not these are basic. Everybody say basic.
Basic.
It's basic principles. So number one, we ought to be reading the Word of God every day. If you don't have a reading sheet, go out to the information table tonight and ask for one. We have one for you. Or you can go on the website. You can see it on the website. Or you can download our app and get it right there. What are we trying to do? We're trying to, guys, I'm trying to make it as easy and as practical as I can. How many know Hope is a practical church?
Yeah.
But how many know I can't read for you? Amen?
Amen?
So you can even get somebody to read for you. You know what I mean? I like it because my phone's kind of jacked up right now, but praise God, it's going to get healed, and thank God for it. But one of the things I like doing, I like listening to the Word of God, and I like the version I listen to. The guy speaks with an English accent. You know what I mean? Here's what I'm saying. You know what? But ultimately, I'm the one who has to find where we are, you know what, and find the chapter and make sure we're reading, you know what, because I want you to read the same chapter that we're reading. Okay, I'm not saying that you can't read more, but I want you to at least, us together, we're reading the same passages together every single day. And so I encourage you to do that. You know what? Number one, read. Number two, invite. We are going to do another big catch. I'm going to say another big catch. What, Pastor, what are we going to do that? We're going to do that for Mother's Day. We're going to, this place is going to be packed. I'm not saying that we can't pack it out this week. You know what I mean? And if you want to come with me, I'll be here Saturday at 2 o'clock. Encourage every single one of you and to go through a short little 20-minute teaching on evangelism. Then we'll go out and we'll pass out cards. Pastor, I've never done that before. Well, praise God. Maybe God is speaking to you, asking that you would be here this Saturday and making your schedule available. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But that you would be able. But Pastor, I would feel nervous. Praise God, aren't you glad somebody felt nervous and fought through that nervousness to invite you to this church? Aren't you glad? No, they weren't nervous. No, you don't know what they were. Amen. But can I tell you what? If you will invite, there's something about feeling fear and pushing through that fear that is an incredible thing. Okay? And so, you know what? We're not going to pass out. You know, I'm not going to make you pass out 500, but could you come Saturday and just pass out 25 cards with us? I guarantee you what will happen to you. You know what? You'll get happier every single card that you pass out, and you'll be blessed. You'll walk away better than you came, and that's what's going to happen tonight. So, number one, we need to read. Number two, we need to invite. And number three, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to pray. And number, we're going to talk about three and four today. Number three, you need to pray. We need to be talking about God. We talked about last week. I want to talk about a little bit more tonight. But number four, we need to expect. You're not just praying. You're praying with an expectation. We'll talk about that. So tonight, I want to talk about prayer. And what I want to give you is I want to give you a roadmap. Guys in the back, I change the title. So sometimes I do that. Sometimes I come up with one title. Sometimes I come up with three titles. So you can title it really anything you want. You could title the sermon, Five Dimensions to Pray. Or you can title the sermon, A Blueprint to Pray. Or you can entitle your sermon, A Roadmap to Prayer. Okay? Isn't that fun? What I want to talk to you, though, is I want to give you a roadmap, or I want to give you a real, and here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask, when you pray tomorrow, get out your notes and follow the instructions. Follow a system where you're going to do five different aspects of how you pray, and that's what I want to teach you today. I want to teach you a blueprint how to pray. Number one, write this down. I want us to look inside, look backwards at the cross. What do I mean by look backwards at the cross? Well, let's look at 1 Peter. Guys, I don't think you have this. I didn't have it on your notes, but it's 1 Peter chapter 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 18. What's that? There's no chapter 18? Wow, false doctrine. All right, let me look it up in my Bible and I'll tell you. I saw it in my Bible, so. No, I'm not saying I wrote it 18 or 19. Obviously, it's not that, but let me find it for you. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with 18. Is it there? All right. Oh, there it is. Okay. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct, received by traditions from your fathers. Let's break this down. No, guys, go back. Let's break this down for a minute. From your aimless conduct. How many remember before you got saved how aimless you were? You know what? There was an aimlessness. There was a purposelessness that you had in your life that you weren't sure, you didn't know. You know, it's like, there's such a confidence that comes when you understand who you are, what you're called to do, what your purpose in your life is, even if you don't understand everything. How many don't understand everything that God has planned for you? I don't understand everything, but how many know at this point I am on track, and to some extent, you know, I was talking to my friend Robbie Booth. If you didn't come to the couples conference, you know what? You just missed it. Robbie was awesome. Here's the good news. Oh, Pastor, can I listen to it? You know, did you record it? Yeah, I recorded it, but you can't listen to it. Amen. You can't. No, you can't. Here's what you can do. You can come to next time Robbie Booth comes and be blessed. Amen. But listen, here's what I'm saying. Robbie called me the other day, and he spoke prophetically over me. And he said, he didn't say, thus saith the pastor, thus saith the Lord. He didn't do it like that. He just said, hey, Pastor Drew, I don't know if you know this about your life, but there's an anointing that you have. And he started to share some things that he saw direction from God that he had for me. And what I loved about it is the Holy Spirit had shared me those same things. And I just said, you know what, Robbie, I appreciate you saying that. You know what, the Holy Spirit is telling me, you know what, has shared with me that. How many know sometimes when you get on track with God, do I know it all? I don't know it all. I'm learning stuff still. But how many know when you start getting on track, you know what I mean? You know, you're on the 605 freeway and you're going south. Here's what you know. You might not know everything, but you know you're not going to the mountains. Amen? You know you're not going. Why? Because the 605 doesn't go to the mountains. Right? So, you know, I don't know everything, but it's good to be on track and to recognize I'm on track and I'm going in the right direction. How many know that's good? See, it's different. Before, you were in this aimlessness. You know what I mean? You just weren't sure. You know what? Next verse. Look at this. Next verse, guys. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and what? And without spot. Here's what God says. Here's what it's saying. God has redeemed us. Everybody say, God has redeemed us. You know what? God has redeemed you. What is, you know what? The other day, I was driving home from church with my mother-in-law, and we saw this old Woody. It was one of the most beautiful conditioned cars. It was awesome. I mean, no, you know what? That person, whoever owned it, and I rolled down my window. I was like, dude, that's so awesome. And you know, he smiled at me and waved and everything. But here's the thing. How many know that car might not have looked like that 5 years ago? He might have looked at that car and might have been all messed up. But what happened? He redeemed that car. A Woody, look at, Google it, okay? A Woody is kind of a station wagon. It was really in the 60s, a surf cat car. And matter of fact, that guy, he had surf racks on top of it. And they called it a Woody because the side had these wooden panels on it. So, i.e. Woody. Anyway, it was so cool. This thing was beautiful. But here's what I'm saying. As jacked up as you were, as messed up as all of us were, God has this way to restore it. I mean, this car, I'm serious, it was like its first day in the showroom. And no matter what you've gone through, yeah, but Pastor, I've gone through a divorce. Yeah, but Pastor, I did this when I was young, or I did this 6 months ago, or I did this 6 days ago. God says, no, you don't understand. God has restored you. Sometimes we don't feel restored, but we are restored. How many know we have to? How many, let God be true and every man a liar? How many know? So there's times that we have to override how we think according to what God said. Without spot. Everybody say, without spot. See, that's, God has this supernatural. Everybody say, supernatural. Supernatural. It's, you know what? But Pastor, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense because it's supernatural. He took all, you know what? All your sin on him, took care of it, paid the price. And now the price has been paid. So now if you accept Jesus, now he looks at you and you are set free. You are sinless. But Pastor, that doesn't make any. There are all kinds of things. You know these examples, things that don't make sense to you. But you know they're true. Okay, this is truth. And so you have to override how you feel and just recognize this is the truth. Now, what is that? What is that important? That's so important. Watch this. What are we talking about tonight? What are we talking about tonight? Prayer. So your first thing, everybody say first. First. Remember, this is a blueprint. You know, what's a blueprint? Blueprint is these plans, you know what, and they tell the builder what to do. Not only what to do, how long, how high, all the details, but they tell them the order to do it. First thing tomorrow when you get up to pray, I want you to look backwards as you pray. What does that mean? You're looking at the cross. When you look at the cross, you can go into this. See, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. Everybody say boldly.
Boldly.
See, not arrogantly, but boldly. You know, can you imagine, you know what, Megan coming up to me, you know what, before we eat, you know what, we always go home and eat. You know, we probably shouldn't eat late on Wednesday, but we do anyway, because you know what, we haven't eaten, so we go home and we eat too much and we eat too late. But can you imagine Megan coming up to me and just, Megan's my youngest, if you don't know, but can you imagine Megan coming up to me and just like, oh, you know, Dad, can I have a little piece of bread? Can you imagine her doing that? I'd say, Megan, what are you doing? I just want a little piece of bread. Can I have a little piece of bread? Could you put some butter on it, just a little bit, and some water? I know Megan doesn't do that.
None of my kids do that.
Okay, but listen, that's a good thing. They can come boldly. They're in my family. There's nothing I don't. How many know they can eat anything in the kitchen? They don't ask. Well, they don't even ask. You know what I mean? Why? Because they don't need to ask. They're in my family. Amen. Amen. You're in God's family. So you need to stop thinking, yeah, but Pastor, what about what I did? He's probably still mad at me. No, you got to remember, Jesus Christ, here's a deep theological question. Here's a deep theological question. Did Jesus come or did he not come? Did he die on a cross? I'm just saying, did he die on the cross or did he not die on the cross? Okay, did he raise from the dead or did he not raise from the dead? Okay, if all that happened, you know what? Then you can come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't have to come, you know what I mean? Now, we want to honor God. We want to give him respect, right? But we don't have to come fearful in cowardly like what we did. Does that make sense? Remember the prodigal son? I mean, prodigal son wasted, did some foolish things. But watch this. As soon as the son comes back, what did the son say? What was the son going to say? He was going to say, Dad, I sin against you and against God, and I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be your son, but I'm hungry. So if you could just allow me to be one of your servants, I don't want to be in your family, but I just want a job. Could you just, I'll just do all the chores around the house. I'll act like the servants because what I've done. The father's like, watch this. The father's like, ridiculous. This is crazy thinking. The son had rehearsed it, had rehearsed what he was going to say. He gets halfway through his speech, and the dad's like, hey, come on, get that, yeah. The ring, come on, bring, hurry. You know what? The robe, come on, robe. I need the robe. So I need some stuff on his shoes. Hey, he's barefoot. He needs shoes, man. This is my son. He needs shoes. This is not, it was like, you know what it was like? It was like he's talking to himself. He's talking to the wall. The father, can I tell you what? The father doesn't, you, because of what Jesus Christ did, you don't have to come. It doesn't make any difference what you did. He doesn't see you like that. He sees you. I'll finish that. He sees you like his son. He sees you like Jesus. See, that's how he sees you. That's how he sees you. You know what? I like to tease my mother-in-law. Amen. This is probably, sorry, I'm confessing this to you, but I like to tease my mother-in-law. You know one of the best ways to tease my mother-in-law? The dogs. Yeah, that's good. That's right. I like to tease my mother-in-law, and you know what? My mother-in-law is fair. Everything. This is like if when she buys the kids, like Christmas, everyone gets the same amount. And if she spend this amount on Megan, everybody, it's like, I won't say to the dollar, but to the $5, she is serious about this. You know what I mean? And so if it's like $5 off, she'll be like, no, I gotta get Tyler or something else because, you know what, it's not equal. Hello. It's really funny. But it's cool. It's cool. It's really, I'm not saying this because this is on TV recorded, but it is cool. But it's funny too. Can I tell you what? That's how God sees you. Now this, you can get mad at me. You can tell, you know what? Listen, when he sees you, he sees the righteousness of his son. Amen. Yeah, see, we're having a hard time saying amen to that one. I'm just telling you, because of what his son did. Amen. So when you go into prayer, the first thing tomorrow, make sure you're looking back at the cross, reminding yourself what Christ did. Don't come into it without understanding. Look, everybody say, look back. Look back at the cross. Number two, look upward to the Father. Number one, we're looking what? Back. Number two, look upward. Everybody say upward. What does that mean? You're looking upward to the Father. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 15. Do you guys got that starting with verse 15? For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. We just talked about that. You didn't receive a spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what?
Abba, Father.
Listen, what am I saying? First, look back at the cross, but two, look upward to your Father. Everybody say, my Father. Wave your hand like this. Everybody, wave your hand like this. Say, Pastor, what do you want me to do? Just do it. Wave your hand like this and say, Daddy, I'm here. Daddy. That's what Abba means. What's the Spanish word? Man, I can hear it. Papa, you guys are fun. No, it's not dad, but it's affectionate. It's mijo. Mijo. I heard that all the time. And you know what? Growing up, mijo. Okay. I'm not saying that's a perfect translation. I'm just saying, it's relational. When I would go into, houses where Spanish was fluent, I would hear that all the time. Mijo, mijo, mijo. Is that what it means? Learn something new every day. So I'm not saying call your father your son. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, do you catch the affection? Okay, it's this affection that people have in a family relationship. This is not a formal word. This is Aramaic, Abba. It's not a formal word. It's as informal as you can get. So where you're not looking at, you know what, Bubba Watson, who won the Masters a couple years ago, when he was done, I loved it because it was just kind of like, I don't know, it was just a good word picture. So he wins the Masters. This year, the Masters, if you won it, you won almost $2 million. If you came, true story, if you came in second place, how many would like to come in second place? And for coming in second place, you won over $1 million. How many would take a second place $1 million? Okay, check. Okay. But Bubba Watson, when he won a couple years ago, I love what he did. You know what? He went after, I can imagine this, after he won, you know what? He took his family out. Guess where they went? No. You won't guess. Connie will guess, but you won't guess. No, they went to the Waffle House. How many of the Waffle House is not the most fancy restaurant you could go to? What's my point? When Bubba Watson's family, kids, are sitting there, how many know they can order whatever they want, right? But how many know they don't, you know what, their little, you know, his little five-year-old doesn't have a big understanding of his dad just won over $1 million. He just wants a waffle with a happy face on it. You know what I mean? Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. Understand the relationship that you have with your dad. Look back at Jesus, but look up. Listen, here's the main thing. To your father. To your daddy. To your papa. To your mijo, but that's wrong. But do you understand? The affection. Do you get it? Number three, look inward to Jesus. Now, we understand, yes, Jesus is at the right hand, but we understand that Jesus lives in, his spirit lives inside of us. Look inward to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Look what it says. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Okay, let's stop here. I'm going to wait till you finish writing, because I want us to kind of trip out on this scripture together. I want us to examine what the Bible just told us. Do you see this? Examine yourself. Why? As to whether you are in the faith. Paul is writing to a church, and he is not assuming that everyone in the church is a Christian. Thank you. Somebody said that's good. This is good. How many know that? Somebody say this is the Bible. No, Pastor, you know what? You shouldn't say that. I'm just telling you what the Apostle Paul said that we should do. Just because you come, why? And trust me, I want you to come to church. Come to church Sunday. Come to church Wednesday. You know what? Be involved in church. Get involved in church. You know, statistically, what will help you to make sure you don't get a divorce? You know what will help you make sure you don't get a divorce? Come to church. Come to church. Here, statistically, this is true. This is true. Guess what? Somebody comes to church. There are a couple, they come to church once a month. Everybody say once a month. And there's another couple, they come to church every other week. Statistically, you know who is more likely to get a divorce? The people who come once a month. Okay, watch this. Somebody comes once a week versus somebody who comes twice a month. Guess who is more likely to get a divorce? The person who comes more likely, you know what, twice a week, they have a more likelihood to get divorced than the person who comes every week. You guys know where I'm going with this, right? This is researched out. This is proven. This is statistics. Somebody comes Sunday and Wednesday. They come twice a week versus another couple who come once a week. Guess who has more likelihood that they're going to get a divorce? It is statistically proven. The more you come to church, the less likelihood you will have to get a divorce. But can I tell you what? Coming to church doesn't mean you're saved. It don't mean you're saved. It just doesn't. Doesn't mean you're saved. How many know when you're on an airplane, you know what, up in the air, going to Chicago or going to Hawaii, or going to wherever, Pittsburgh, wherever you're going, how many know that is not the time to find out that the wing is loose? How many know that it's not the time to figure that out? Come on. How many know the time to figure that out, the time to figure that out is before. Ever say before? Before you ever get off the ground. Okay. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Pastor, how do you do that? Look at your life. Look at your lifestyle. Look at your lifestyle. How many know, you know what? The Bible says that they will know you, you know what, by your love. How do you know you see a tree and you go, wow, that's an apple tree. This is deep. How do you know that's an apple tree? Because it's got apples on it. How do you know the difference between an apple tree and an orange tree? Because the apple tree has apples on it. The orange tree has oranges on it. Pastor, that's why I come here, because you're so deep. You're so deep. I know I am. Okay. Can I what? Examine your life. Yeah, but Pastor, we're not saved by our works. I know we're not. I know we're not saved by our works. But can I tell you what? People who are sincerely in love with Christ have a willingness to obey what he says to do. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. So examine yourself. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? See, and you know what I love about Jesus? This is not just, listen, this is not just to test ourselves to know whether we're in the faith or not. How many know that's really important? But it's also important that we could allow the Holy Spirit. How many know if, see, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into prayer. I want you to go into prayer, looking back at the cross, recognizing if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. I want you to look up to your relationship with your dad and say, Daddy, you have a relationship with God. But here's what I want you all to do. I want you also to look at Jesus inside and ask Jesus, Jesus, show me where I need some help. Show it to me. Does this make sense? Show it to me. And can I tell you what? Jesus will, because how in the world, how many know our perspective can be off? It's like, no, I'm not that bad. You know what I mean? I didn't preach that long. How many know that clock will tell me if I preach too long? Is that not right? See, there are things that we can measure, and Jesus Christ, who lives inside of you, is the perfect one to tell you, hey, you're a little too harsh with your husband. Hey, you're a little too bitter with your wife. Hey, you're a little too angry with your kids. Or you know what? You're a little too lax with your kids. I'm not looking at anybody. I don't know. I'm just saying, how many know the Holy Spirit can tell you, you know what I mean? All kinds of things. And you've got to allow him to examine what's going on. I don't have this in the back, but if you can turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Are you guys learning something tonight? Okay, now remember, this is how I want you to do this tomorrow. It'll bless you. Amen? Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse 22. For the fruit of the Spirit is, here, measure it, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay, what are those? Those are what should be on your tree. Amen. So look at it. That's a great way to examine it. And let Jesus, I mean, no, Jesus lives inside you. He'll say, hey, that self-control thing, ooh, this tree looking pretty empty with self-control. Amen. You know, ooh, this, you know what? And you know, Jesus can tell you, you know what? You're doing a great job, you know what, in your kindness. But you need to work on your faithfulness. Does this make sense? See, don't just go to God. Don't just go to God, because sometimes there's nothing wrong with asking God those things. But sometimes we go, oh, we want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. Add this to your wants. And God, show me. I want to see where I need to improve. Wow, that's a good prayer, right? Okay. Yeah, thank you. That's really good. Number one, look upward. Recognizing Christ already set you free on the cross. Number two, look upward. Look to the Father. He's our Father. Number three, look inward. Ask Jesus to show you some stuff. Number four, look around and ask the Holy Spirit to use you. You know what we can do in the church? We focus so much on ministering to you, 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 that sometimes we don't do as good a job as saying, hey, freely you have received, freely give. I believe that it is one of the major problems in the church. They asked a pastor, and he had pastored a big four-square church up in Oregon for years and years and years. And he had pastored there about 20 years, grew the church, flourishing church, felt called to stop pastoring and go into the mission field. He went into the mission field overseas for 10 years, and then after that, he came back and started pastoring again. They ask him, Pastor, have you noticed anything different between, when you were a pastor close to 15 years ago and what your pastor is now? He said, absolutely. They said, what is it? He said, before, people in the congregation were so much more, there was just a serving mindset. Nowadays, we have so many people coming to our church and they don't even think about serving. It's not even on their radar. Wow. Can we, in our prayer life, start asking God, Holy Spirit, show me what's around me. I don't want to be someone who just spends all their time focusing on myself, but let me be like you. Holy Spirit, show me what's around me. Does this make sense? Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. How many know selfishness is unrighteous? Wow, that's a good thing to say. Say selfishness is unrighteousness. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. What's your members? Everybody say, my hands are my members. My feet are my members. My mouth is my member. See, these are, I love the terminology because it gives a real practical, example of, hey guys, sometimes we get into such a mentality sometimes we get in such a mentality of worship that we don't understand, to be outward is an expression of worship. Instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Amen. God, here it is. Here it is. Here's my instrument. What do you want me to do with it? Can I motivate you to do this? When God was doing all kinds of preparation to get Tamara and I here. But I remember when we got here, even though I was bivocational, even though the church was totally messed up inside and out, there was all kinds of things that we needed to do. Hardly anybody here. Facility totally run down. The leadership board, it was like, one of their favorite things seemed to do was just to fight. And you know what? Let me just be accurate in that. Not everybody on the leadership was that way. But the ones that were on the board that didn't fight, they didn't understand their positioning to correct the ones that were. They never were taught that. Well, who taught them that? Guess what I got to do? And guess who was in the front of that? Guess who had to confront these people? I did.
But here's what I'm saying. Even with all that mess, I remember lying in my bed, you know what, telling Tamara, man, I am in the place that God has called me to be. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? The best life is a life that you will open up yourself to serve other people. You know, you want to get close to God, get close to His heart. In your prayer time, ask God. Just think about it for a minute. You look at the effectiveness of this church. You know why this church is effective? Because of Richard. I'm telling you what. Let all the earth come forth and sing His praises. How many enjoyed that song today? Man, I so enjoyed it. I self-control. I had to shut it down because I could have sang that song for another 10 as a leader. I could have do it again. You know what I mean? But self-control, thank God. But here's what I'm saying. How many felt that release of joy? I'm asking, how many felt the release of joy as we, and the truth is, every single one of you that serve, you know what, I take the time to point out Richard just because he's boom right there. But you know the truth is, there's all kinds of people I could say that about. Amen? Amen. I look at Hazel. You know, Hazel is faithful. You know what? I don't know what Hazel does. I don't never see her do nothing. You know what I mean? Oh, let me tell you what. You know what? She is so faithful. You know what? She is one of the faithful ones that I can trust, that we all can trust. You know what I mean? Because I know, you know, how trustworthy she is. And she's one of the people who count the money for us. How many know we don't just give it to the bank and say, oh, you count it. You know, no. We count it first. Amen. Amen. Say, Pastor, you're smart. And of course, she's not the only one. We wouldn't put her in that position. But you know what? But here's what I'm saying. Faithful. You know what? Have we ever stood up and I'm not asking you to do this, she would be so embarrassed. Have we ever stand up and, hey, let's give it up for Hazel today, you know what I mean? Help count our money, you know what I mean? No, she's shaking her head. She wouldn't want that. But here's what I'm saying. You know what? What a blessing. Amen. See, and watch this. And Richard does what he does and Hazel does. Why is that such a blessing? Because guess what? Because now I'm not having, you know, this is a true story. You know, there was a time when on Wednesday, you know who did praise and worship on Wednesday? I did. Amen. Yeah. I could grab my guitar right now and lead you to worship. Of course, you know what? It'd have to be a song that has three chords in it. How many know there's a lot? How many of it is truth? There's a lot of worship songs. D, G, and A. That's right. Okay, a lot of worship songs you can do in those three chords. But how many know, you know, we're limited. We're limited. And how many know I shouldn't really be thinking about praise and worship? You know what? How many know what a blessing it is just to be focused on what I'm going to teach? Does that make sense? Ask God, we're almost done. Ask God, how can I serve? How can I be a servant? And then last but not least, you know what? Backward, upward, inward, around us, and forward. Everybody say forward. What do I mean? Looking forward to my future in faith. Everybody say future in faith. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Everybody say, he's going to complete what he started. Listen, so today, I've had it in my mind, I had to call someone, I had to write something down, and I'm getting ready to do it, I'm getting ready to write it down, I'm getting ready to call someone, and the Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to call this person first. I'm like, God, but I got to do that. He said, I know. You're going to do that. Write it down. But first call this person. Pastor, what did you do? I called him. Okay. Yeah, but he wasn't there. I know, but I left a nice message. See, I have no idea what that message meant. But how many know he can run your life better than you can run your life? Now, when you start to pray, listen to me. When you start to pray to God and say, God, I'm asking you to lead me in my day, he will open up this wealth of information and he can tell you, hey, you need to go there first. You need to call this person. You need to tell that person. You need to avoid this situation over here. I remember in those beginning days working through, you know what, this leadership that I had to work through. I remember the Holy Spirit told me, stop talking to this person by yourself. Ooh. We knew God's a smart God. And so here's what I did. I stopped talking to that person. I stopped having these frustration conversations. This is the truth. I never would talk to this person by myself again. I just wouldn't. Yeah, but what if they came up to you and I'd say, oh, you know what I mean? I can't talk right now. And I started having conversations where that person was only, two things happened. My life got way better. Because why? Because two things happened. They were less confrontive in front of my face. Number one. And number two, because they couldn't do that, they became infuriated in front of other people's faces. I mean, no, that's exactly what I needed. I needed for people to see what was really going on. Here's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit can take, if you will give your life to him, if you'll spend some time. Listen, this is a great blueprint. Use it. Don't just blow your pastor off. Look at it. Write it down. You know what? And this last thing is absolutely critical, that you're saying, God, just spend some time in telling me about my future. And I'm not talking about like 8 months from now, although he can tell you 8 months from now. I'm talking about, I remember when the Holy Spirit shared with me and showed me we need to start doing our own summer camps with the junior hires and high schoolers. I remember, this is a true story. I remember driving up to the mountains, our first summer camp, driving up to the mountains and getting almost just an anxiety attack thinking, we don't even know what we're doing. We had like 50 kids who came with us to summer camp, and I was like, we don't even know what we're doing. What am I thinking? Sebastian, why did you do that? Because the Holy Spirit told us and gave us direction. Can I tell you what? That summer camp, this true story, that summer camp was the best summer camp for the youth that we've ever had. You know what was the second best summer camp, better than that one? The year after that one. You know what was the third, the best one after that one? Last year, amen. You know what's going to be the best one, better than all three of those? This year's. I'm telling you what, but here's what I'm saying. I thank God so much. I remember hearing the report, and Shayla and Joel, they're not negative. But I remember, you know what? We sensed that we needed to go. Tamara went to a summer camp. And you know what? We went to the summer camp. I didn't go. She went. But she came back just like shaking her head. Because we didn't know. I mean, I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying it wasn't hope. Wasn't hope. All I'm saying is, let the Holy Spirit share with you. But he can't share your future if you don't give him some time on a blueprint and say, God, talk to me. All that genius that I experience. I would like to give the credit and say, let me tell you what, I'm so smart. I'm such a dynamic leader. And let me tell you what, because I'm smart. It don't have nothing. Some of you can say amen to this. It had nothing to do with that. Come on. But how many know God can help us look really smart? And God can help us. And how many know he's really smart? And so what we talked about Sunday, when you think right, you do right. So you start, you know what, allowing the one who knows the beginning from the end, teaching us, and it's a whole different ticket. Amen? Amen. Did you learn something? If you will pray tomorrow these five things, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you, and I want you to commit to this. Father, we ask that we would look back at the cross, that we would look up to Jesus, that we would look inward and allow God to speak to us, that we would look around us and recognize there's people we can help all over the place, there's things that we should be doing, and that we would look forward and allow you to give us a plan. We thank you, Father, for this simple instruction that you've given us tonight, but help us to move to a place in prayer that we have never even began to, just never even walked in that blessings like we are going to. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.